Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me today. Today, we're going to talk about the announcements for iOS 14. A couple of weeks ago, it was released to the public, and there have already been a number of podcasts and things centered around this that I think a lot of you may or may not have been able to tune into and learn about. And I'm not going to cover absolutely everything here today. There are literally about 250 plus changes in iOS 14, and we're not going to even come close to that. I'm going to cover about 30 things throughout this presentation, then we'll open it up for questions. So if we have time, and we're going to cover a couple things about the Apple Watch as well for those that are interested in hearing about that. iOS 14, if you get that installed on your device, and it pretty much will work on definitely anything iPhone 7 or later, and I think even on the 6S or later. When you first install that, you're going to think, wow, there's nothing really here that has changed. That's really kind of true from a real public-facing statement here. 11, it's 2. Interesting that we didn't see much more of a visible change unless you actually try to do something specific on your device. The first thing that was the largest UI that happened in iOS 14 was this concept of widgets. Now, Android has had these for quite a while, and a widget is basically a way of putting icons on the screen that present dynamic information as opposed to just having the name of an icon and maybe a badge or showing, you know, the time on the clock icon or the date on the calendar icon. A widget allows you to basically show all kinds of different things like news and weather and stocks and all these different types of things. And you can add those to your home screen. There are three types of widgets. There's small, medium, and large. And the difference of this is that they take a little bit more room on the screen itself. So you need to keep this in mind. If you're really organized on your phone, like I am, for example, you'll know that you can create folders and you can put apps and app icons on your screen. As you add widgets, then your icons on that screen, on your home screen, will jump around a little bit because the widgets themselves take space on your actual home screen itself. There are different types of widgets. There's a regular widget where you can just basically drop a widget on the home screen, and we'll talk about doing that in just a minute. You can stack widgets on top of each other, which is what I've done here. So, for example, I have on the top left corner of my screen, I have four widgets stacked on top of each other on my home screen. It's on the first page of my home screen, and it's got, again, four widgets. So, for example, this one here.
Fitness widget stack.
Is a fitness widget, and it
37% exercise ring, 66% stand ring, 50%.
So as you can see, I've been out exercising and getting a lot of movement in today, and my standing goal is at 50%. So you heard that it said that they're stacked. So you can flick up and down here.
Edit mode, previous widget,
and you can go to the previous and next widget. So if I go to the next widget,
widget 2 of 4,
then this is my pedometer widget.
1.7 meters.
I've walked 1.7 miles of stairs and 4,100 steps or so. I have a couple of other widgets here. Sometimes what happens here also when you are flicking up and down on the widget, it may not work. So you have to come move away from the widget and come back. And then you can go to the next widget.
A gray surface with a blue border. A gray surface with a blue border. A screenshot of a blue, cloudy large image.
And then here's a weather widget.
57 degrees.
So it's 57 here with a high of 60 today. I have four widgets, and then I have a battery widget on there as well. So I can check the status of my batteries. And so you're saying, well, this is really cool. So how do I add these widgets to my home screen? It's really simple. You simply go into edit mode. So if I touch on the screen and I flick up and I go to edit mode, and then I can go here to the top left corner, and I can tap on a button that says add widget, and this brings up a dialogue here that allows me to then search for my types of widgets. There's a lot of built-in iOS widgets that come with the apps that are already built into the operating system, and then there are a bunch of widgets that are being added to software applications that you can download, and you'll need to update those apps to be able to get those widgets. So what you basically do here is you select the widget that you want.
timery, current time entry.
So for example, there's a timery widget here, which is a great tracking app if you don't know what that is.
NASA images widget.
Small, there's a NASA widget.
Buffed, music recently played. Widget small suggested.
There's a music widget. So if I double tap on that, then
music heading.
It shows the widget and it gives you an example of what is shown on the widget. You can come down here and change the size of the widget from small, medium, or large by flicking up and down on the page picker here.
Add widget.
And then there's an add widget button. I'm not going to do that here. That will add it to your home screen. Using widgets like this has some really great implications in that a lot of times, you know, you'll have an app on your home screen because you want to be able to quickly get to information that app represents. And so a widget can do that, and then you can delete the app off your home screen. We'll talk about that in a few minutes as to how to do that and put it in what's called the app library. And that takes us to the next thing that I want to talk about, which is the app library. New in iOS 14 is this concept of the application library, and the way you get to that is a three-finger swipe left. And then you move to your last page of icons.
News and weather folder, 10 apps, page 3 of 3.
And then once you're on your last page, it will say page 3 of 3. But you can then move to the next thing, which is, of course, the app library.
App library, search field.
So here, you'll be able to see
suggestions, messages.
Suggested apps. All of the apps that are on your device will appear here. And there are different categories that you can then move through. Some people have said, well, I wish that the categories were marked by a heading, similar to headings on the web. They are not done that way in this case. Apple is now using what are called containers. So I strongly encourage you to add containers to your router so that you can quickly jump to that and then switch between the different categories. If you double tap on a category, you'll then get an alphabetical list of apps that fit into that specific category. And you can also use the search field here to go ahead and search for a specific app that may not be on your home screen. You can delete an app from the home screen. You can do that a couple of different ways. You can do that by going to edit and then double tapping on the app. And then it will give you two options. One is to delete the app from the iPhone directly or delete it just from the home screen so that it only appears in the application library. This allows you to declutter your home screen. Another cool thing about all of this with the application library, I personally don't use the application library because, again, I have my phone pretty organized and I find it more efficient to do things the way that I'm doing it. But it's a great tool if you want to go down that road and use that approach. If you are using the application library, then you can hide your home screen pages, and that's very easy to do. So you go into edit mode.
Started editing. Page 3 of 4,
and then you go to the page picker and you double tap on it.
Home screen page hiding, page 3 of 4, adjustable.
And then you can then tell it which pages you want to hide or make visible.
Adjustable.
So you can touch the screen.
Page 3, visible.
You can double tap on it and it will make the page, whichever one you're touching, hidden. So it doesn't appear on your home screen. This is useful if you're going to be finding that you want to use the application library. Again, I'm not real interested in using that. So for me, I don't hide any of my pages themselves. By the way, the categories in the application library come from the specific app store categories themselves. Like that's how they're grouped. Just so that you're aware. There's a setting in iOS settings under home screen settings that allows you to do a number of different things to control how the home screen works. You can show badges on icons in the app library, and there's a couple of other settings in there. So I would encourage you, if you're interested in looking at that, go to settings on iOS and go to home screen. It's a new icon. It's new in iOS 14 and you'll be all set there. One of the next really great features in iOS 14 is this concept of image recognition, and it has a couple of different connotations here. Let's open up VoiceOver settings. Open VoiceOver settings.
Settings, VoiceOver, accessibility, okay. Back button.
And we're going to come down here.
Commands, button. Audio, verbosity, button. VoiceOver recognition, button.
VoiceOver recognition. So we're going to double tap on this.
Using on-device intelligence, your iPhone will automatically improve the accessibility of apps, images, and text. Voiceover recognition should not be relied upon in circumstances where you could be harmed or injured, in high-risk situations, for navigation, or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Image descriptions on button.
Image descriptions on, and that will take a little bit of memory on your device. It downloads a little bit of stuff that it needs to do that. Remember in the past when we would get an image description, it would say something like grass, trees, leaves. You know, now you're going to get actually a more full sentence description of what the image represents. And it's actually pretty good, actually. It's great for things like social media. If you're on Facebook or Twitter and you want to look at an image, you can turn this feature on and off and actually get an image description.
Your iPhone will speak descriptions of images and apps and on the web. Screen recognition on button.
Screen recognition on. Now, this is a feature that you want to use carefully, because sometimes it's not necessarily a feature that will work well in some applications. For example, WhatsApp makes things speak really crazy and it makes it kind of difficult to actually navigate in. But there are applications, and I think all of us have seen these types of applications where you open up an app and the screen is completely blank, or there's lots of unlabeled things, or just think, you know, you're not actually seeing icons on the screen. You can't flick to them. You can't use Explore by Touch. You can't do anything of that sort. You know, someone that can see can actually see the screen and they can tap on them because they know what they are. This feature alone will light up an inaccessible app. So if you find an app where you're not able to use it, turn on this feature and make sure that it will also be added to your rotor automatically in iOS 14. So you can even rotor over to it and turn it on and off for a specific app. There's a way of actually predefining what applications have the voice recognition feature on or off per app. So you can come in and make that adjustment as well here in iOS 14. Really, really great feature. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Jonathan Mosen's podcast, he demonstrates this with the Diet Doctor app, which is a completely inaccessible app, especially at the welcome screen. And it totally changes the user experience to something that is unbelievably accessible. Is it an excuse for the developer not to make an application accessible? Absolutely not. We still want developers to do the right thing. However, in a case where we need it, it's there. You can control what is done for sensitive announcements. You can have it beep or speak, you know, or do nothing. There's features that do that as well. So if there's a picture that is sensitive, and it's intelligent enough to know that it might be, then you can have it, you know, do something that might be a little more guarded in that situation. So you can have a feature enabled here. There's a feedback style button, which allows you to tell it how you want to be told that it's using this recognition feature. You can have it set to none or have it play a sound so that you know that it's just coming from the recognition feature. Braille got some love in iOS 14. There's a new ignore chord duration feature. This solves a problem if you hold down the space key too long, and instead of actually executing a G, you might do a chord G if you're not careful. So this kind of resolves, you know, that kind of a feature. Many Braille displays have auto advance capability. This is now a feature in iOS 14. You can define this and even add it to the rotor so that you can change the rate at which it auto advances. You do need to go in. It's not a predefined command on Braille displays. So you need to go into the Braille settings and go into commands and define a chord command to be able to execute that and turn it on and off for your specific Braille display. So that's something you'll want to be aware of. Let's talk about verbosity as it relates to iOS 14. I think everyone's familiar with actions, right? You touch an icon and it says double tap here to do something, or it gives you a hint after it speaks the icon name, right? Well, now we have a new thing where you can actually change that so that it actually plays a sound. So for example, that's how I have mine set. So if I touch an icon,
iTunes, double tap to open.
Yeah, now it's not doing it. I don't know why my phone is not doing that, but it normally, if you have the feature on, that will play a sound. It will make a doo-doo-doo type sound. And it's actually quicker than actually speaking the hint itself. Not sure, because it was doing it an hour ago. So I'm not sure why it's doing that. There's a new feature on iPhone XS devices or later for double tap and triple tapping the back of your iPhone. So you do this by going into settings, commands, touch gestures, and then moving to the bottom of the screen, and you can define a specific voiceover command, a system command, or actually running a shortcut when you either double tap or triple tap the back of your iPhone. You could use this for something like going to the home screen or bringing up the control center or bringing up notifications or, you know, something that might be more difficult for you to do. Some people use it for exercise. So they'll triple tap the back of their iPhone. It will automatically launch a shortcut, which starts a timer, starts a playlist automatically for them. Then they can just start running on their treadmill or whatever the case may be. So it's a great feature, but again, it's restricted to the iPhone XS or later. There's some great new features for those people who are hearing impaired. There's a sound recognition feature. So it recognizes things, cats and dogs and crying babies and door knocks and all kinds of different things. I think there's 14 different sounds that it will recognize. I've played with this a little bit. I have found it not to be very effective for our home, but you may want to try it. It's under hearing and you can give that a try. Headphone, I would show this one, but it's really a situation that I think you need to experience. And this is the new headphone accommodations feature. This allows you, if you have a pair of ear pods, the wired earbuds, or a pair of AirPods or AirPods Pro, you can use those with your iPhone and you can tune the way that things sound in your headphones. And that's everything from voiceover to music, to videos and movies. Anything that plays on the device gets changed. It's great. It changes the balance. You can change the balance, the tone, and the brightness levels of sound. So the way this works is it guides you through a wizard. What first happens is it tells you to get in a quiet place. You are then instructed to start the process. It first asks you to listen, to hear if you actually hear someone speaking. And the volume of the speech is very, 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 very low. So if you can't hear it, it will turn the volume up on that. And then it has you listen to a number of music tracks. And it asks you to compare the way that each of the music tracks sounds to you. And acoustically, they're a little bit different. Some of them are brighter, some of them are lower, you know, sounding. Some of the highs are taken out, some of the highs and some of them are higher in some of the things that you'll hear. And it's all in an effort to be able to determine how your hearing is best. And then it makes a recommendation and it tells you the recommendation of exactly what it suggests. And you can go with that or you can adjust it yourself. So if you know that you have a high frequency hearing loss, and you know that you really want to really dramatically increase the brightness level of frequencies that your phone represents to you in your headphones, then you can change that from moderate to an even higher level, and then you can save that. And it's great. I use it personally. I really, really love it. And then when I use another person's phone and they don't have that set up and I plug in a pair of headphones into it, it sounds to me like an entirely different device. And it kind of feels weird using another iPhone, to be honest. Share sheet changes. You can go into settings and Siri settings and turn off suggestions when sharing. So this gets rid of all the little icons that may show up when you're trying to use the share sheet. It's just a quick little thing. One of the things that I found most difficult about iOS 14 when I upgraded was getting phone calls, because the UI presents a phone call as it comes in a compact UI. So the call comes in, it's not full screen. It comes up in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, and it's a little tiny spot. So if you're not careful, you're going to miss it. So you can go into phone settings and turn off this compact view so that you revert back to the old behavior, which I honestly think is better. At least it is for me. If you ever wanted to watch a Netflix film or maybe an iTunes movie, but also be able to do something else going on your device at the same time, well, you can now with picture-in-picture. The iPad has had this for a while in some instances and some capability, but now it's brought to us for everywhere. And you can now do this. So you can start a movie in Netflix, go to your home screen and go read your mail while you're listening to the movie, and it still plays in the background. You don't even care, you know, it doesn't matter. You can do that. It's great. The audio continues to play. It's really, really, really nice. You can record an audio message with Siri. So I can do something like send an audio message to Carrie Bishop. Really, Siri? Not gonna behave today. 11:27 a.m. So basically what happens here is you get prompted to record your message. You'll record the message and then it will send it, and it will appear in Messages as an audio message, as though you use the record button in the Messages app itself. You can pin messages in the Messages app. So let's say that you want to be able to keep certain people at the top of the message list in your message. You can touch the message and then flick up and pin the message, so it will stay in that spot as opposed to the order in which they actually physically appear. There's an at mentions feature. You can mention people and you can nudge people in messages. There's a number of features here that they brought forward similar to Slack and Microsoft Teams and other things like that. If you have Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge or Outlook or a number of other email clients installed on your device, you can go into settings and you can go to the settings for the specific application like Outlook or Edge or Chrome, and you can set those apps as the default browser or default email client on your device. If you tap on a link inside of an email message, it will open up in Chrome or Microsoft Edge instead of Safari. This is something that Apple did this release and tried to make the operating system more open for everyone to be able to use whichever email client and web browser that they would like. I personally love that because I'm able to use, Microsoft Edge for the work that I do, because I need to access lots of sites at work. I work at Microsoft, for those that don't know. So it's something that allows me to be more effective on my device. I'm not going to demonstrate it here, but there's an iOS Translate app. Google and Microsoft and others have had these, and now Apple has brought their own Translate app, and it's quite accessible. You simply either dictate or type into the Translate app something that you want to be translated, pick the language, and it automatically translates it back and forth. So it's really kind of cool. You can record audio in stereo. So if you have an app like Just Press Record or something like Ferrite Studio, and you have a device that has multiple microphones like the iPhone 11 or 11 Pro and others, then you can now record in stereo. And Just Press Record just came out with a new version, which allows you to turn that feature off. So if you want to revert back to mono only, then you can do that as well. The Voice Memos app does not record in stereo, but it has additional features like the capability of putting recordings in folders and marking them as favorites. And it has a noise reduction plugin built into the Voice Memos app. So if you're in a noisy environment, like for example, if you're hearing a loud fan, it will get rid of that noise out of the recording itself. The back button long press. So let's say that you go to settings and then accessibility and then voiceover, but you want to quickly get back to settings. You can double tap and hold on the back button, and that will bring up a context menu where you can then just tap on settings and it will jump you right back to the settings icon, as opposed to having to click back to be able to get back there. It's kind of a neat feature. Adding captions to a photo. This is a really cool feature that I wish had been here many, many, many years ago. You can go into your photo library and double tap on the photo. You can flick up and down to show details, and then you can add the caption to your photo itself. The cool thing about this is this allows you then to search for the photo with the search capability of the Photos app and locate it directly. So let's say you take a photo and you know at that time of exactly what it is, you can caption it and then you can find it later in your camera roll or in your Photos application. Kind of cool. Something I do not like, iOS has changed the date time picker controls for things like the calendar and the clock application for setting alarms and things of that nature. Remember that it used to be that you could flick up and down to change the hour and minute and all of that and the date even, for example. Now you have to type these things in. You can double tap on the month, but things like the actual hours and minutes that you have to actually physically type them in now, which is rather unfortunate. I wish they made that option. I think they took sort of a step backward there, personally. Sleep features have been added. So you now have the ability of having health tracking done with your Apple Watch with sleep. You can define a predefined schedule of when you go to bed, and then it will notify you 45 minutes or so before you sleep with a nice little lullaby on your watch or on your phone, depending on which one you have around at the time. If you're wearing your watch, it plays it on the watch and it turns your phone on to do not disturb and turns off notifications and all that to sort of get you ready for bed. You can define specific alarms, and they're actually great. They sound just tremendous. They're much better than the alarms that we've had in the past. And when you wake up in the morning, you'll get some really gentle haptic feedback on your Apple Watch to kindly gently wake you up in the morning so that you don't wake your partner up. It's a really great new feature. The Apple Watch now has rotor support. If you can get your fingers on the watch face and actually do the rotor gesture, it's a little tricky. Not a lot of surface there to do that action. But if you have small enough hands, then by all means, go right ahead. And last but not least, there's a hand washing feature. They said that this was actually planned for prior to COVID, but I just find it really interesting that it came out during the time of COVID. As you wash your hands, the Apple Watch will speak down the amount of time that you need to continue to wash your hands, and then it makes a chime to let you know when you can stop washing your hands. And then you can check the battery health status of your Apple Watch, just like you can on your phone. So if you want to know what the health of your battery is, you can do that on the Apple Watch. And you can adjust now all facets of your workout goals on the Apple Watch. So we all know that there are three different things that are tracked on the Apple Watch: your exercise, your movement, and your standing goal. And you can track all three of these, and you can set specific goals for each one. Now, you can increase your calorie goal for your move goal. You can increase the number of hours that you want or time that you want for exercise. And you can increase or decrease the number of hours that you need to stand for 2 minutes. The default is 12, and you can go down to 6. They don't let you go any lower than that, but you can do all three now. Which is really, really nice. It allows people, to have as much flexibility as they need to be able to do that. So again, these are just the surface of what is available in iOS 14. I think it's a very, very safe upgrade. I would encourage all of you to jump on board and experience it. I'm sure we're going to see a new version of iOS coming out probably in the next week to 10 days as the new phones are announced. They'll be announced next week. And the rumor is that the first phones will be able to be ordered on that following Friday. And traditionally, we see an iOS update come out Monday or Tuesday of that week, generally.
Regarding widgets, I've created widgets and I've stacked a few. Is there a way that I can add one widget, add a second widget, and during that addition process, say I want it stacked with another one, or do I have to add them all and then start stacking them?
So the way that this works is that you need to add the widget to your home screen, and then you can then drag it on top of the other widget. So it's similar to creating folders in the past. You're simply just dragging the widget and dropping it onto an already existing widget to create the stack. There is the concept of what's called a smart stack. If you use that feature, then the phone will determine based on your activity and how it learns what you're doing throughout your day to show you the widget that's probably most relevant to you at the time. So for example, let's say that that you always work out between, 6 and 7 a.m. in the morning, then it will probably show you your fitness widget. Let's say that you go to work at 8 o'clock, it's probably going to show you your calendar widget, for example, things like that. Then it will dynamically change that automatically for you, which is kind of cool.
On the voice recognition, there are three features there. I think I enabled all three of them, and it seems to work great. Although I found that in certain apps, I think I was using the Alexa app, it was a mess in their settings section. It was jumping all over the screen, and I couldn't figure out why that was. I never had the problem, and I'm assuming it might very well be that. Because I activated that one of those, whichever feature that is that recognizes buttons or whatever.
So what you can do there is you can go into the recognition settings, and then there's a button there that says apps, and you can go in and you can tell it to turn that feature off for the Amazon Alexa app.
There was a rotor function that I saw. Can you turn, when you turn it off or on, does it do all three at the same time? Is there a way of doing it so the rotor can do each of those three features separately?
Image descriptions are different than the actual screen recognition feature. They're two distinct different things. So it doesn't turn off image descriptions. They're two separate things. So what I do is I leave image descriptions on, but I tend to keep the screen recognition stuff off unless I need it, because it creates more of a mess than it helps sometimes,
right?
Especially for a well-labeled application. And you're just going to get a bunch of stuff you don't need to hear about.
Jeff, it's Jeanette. I have a question for you about the watch. Have you used the haptic feature, the alarm, when you were like in a pretty good sleep? Is it strong enough to wake you up, or do you find you have to be sort of alert in order to take advantage of that? And let me add, that I know that if the watch isn't on, the alarm feature kicks in on your phone.
It does, right.
And that would wake me up.
I think that really depends on you. I do know that the Series 6 watch has a larger haptic engine device built into it. It's got an actual, you know, a much, I don't know if it's much larger, but it is larger. According to, you know, some stuff that I've read, it is a stronger feeling a haptic pulse that, you know, that it can generate. For example, I found that the Series 3 versus the Series 5 haptic engine was much different. It felt much different on my wrist. It felt more prominent. There are also haptic prominent settings, so you can tell it how strong of a haptic tap that you want on your wrist. So you can adjust that as well. If it's not strong enough for you, you can increase that to prominent. And then, oh, speaking of Apple Watch, mine just dinged. Then you can set it to prominent and you're going to get a much stronger feel of a tap on your wrist. It wakes me up. But then again, I'm a pretty light sleeper. So
actually, two comments. Great presentation. That's first comment. My second comment is I had a friend send me, put on Facebook, a comment about the weather, and the image description actually read the whole entire weather forecast, including the temperature every hour.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked them what it was, and they said it was actually a screen capture.
Yeah, no, it's great. And it reads amazing things, actually. I have been shocked at what it will read. Just absolutely amazing. And I've seen it, you know, make applications work that, you know, I have not been able to, you know, use in the past. It's pretty significant. I still think that this technology has a long way to go. You know, if you listen to some of the interviews that Apple did, you know, on Apple Viz and things like that, yes. They even say that. They even said that, you know, this is something that we're going to continue to innovate on.
In the beginning, you mentioned about the different sizes of the icons. I assume they're all readable by speech. So why would a blind person ever use the larger size icon?
Because you get more information on the widget.
Oh, so the size of the icon controls how much data it can store for you?
Not store, but how much it can show on the screen. For example, if you want a really, really detailed weather report, as opposed to just the forecast for the day, you could get like an entire week forecast on a widget, but it's going to take up most of your screen.
So you said you could change your default browser away from Safari to Chrome or Edge. Yes. What advantages have you found to changing to a different?
Well, I think it's just a preference, whether you like those browsers or not. You know, for example, if you switch to Chrome or Edge, then you can have your bookmarks, you know, synced across. That's definitely true on Chrome. No, for sure. If that's yet on Edge, yet in iOS, it's one of those things that if you just prefer to use Chrome, or that you have that option, or and that's true of an email client. Like for example, I prefer the Outlook client.
That was an excellent presentation. So how about a warm hand of applause for Jeff?
All right,
good job.
Jeff.
Excellent.